You are Locked On Texans, your daily Houston Texans podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
A lot of Texans fans think they made a mistake when they picked tight end Jordan Akins in the third round, but did they? We have somebody who covered Akins in college, and he'll give us an inside look in today's show. Hello, everybody. I'm Robert Land from the Houston Sports Talk Podcast, alongside my partner and co-host, Brian Patterson from House of Houston. Welcome to Locked On Texans, your best daily source of Texans news, views, and interviews. We're part of the FanRag Sports Network. Welcome aboard if this is your first time. And hey, if you missed us yesterday, we're sorry. We actually recorded a show. A little audio issues got to us. You will get us plenty more this week, though, we promise. Now, jumping on the line with us is Luke Saras, who covers the University of Central Florida for SB Nation, which means he's had an up-close look at Jordan Akins the last few years. Great to have you with us, Luke. Thanks for doing this.
Hey, I appreciate you guys having me on.
All right, let's get to it, because a lot of Texans fans are going, who is this guy? And I guess the biggest thing to start with is tell us a little bit about his story, because the first thing you see with Jordan is, Luke, is just the fact that he's a 26-year-old rookie. How did he get to be a 26-year-old rookie?
That is the big red flag I think everybody has seen with Jordan Akins. So he was actually part of UCF's 2010 recruiting class. He was a three-star recruit out of Georgia, and he actually had offers from Georgia, Georgia Tech, Ole Miss, to name a few. But he was part of UCF's 2010 recruiting class, and then he elected to go play pro baseball. So he actually spent, four seasons in the minor leagues with the Texas Rangers organization. He was drafted in the third round. Obviously, the MLB draft is a long process, so that's pretty high up. And it just didn't pan out. So he left professional baseball and then joined UCF in 2014 to pursue a football career.
Do you think this whole thing surprises even him, that he's now an NFL draft pick and going to an NFL camp? What have you talked to him about that, or what have you heard about, his sort of reaction to what's happened?
You know, he's a low key guy, but I definitely think he knows how athletic he is. So I don't think he's surprised that he went from being a professional baseball player to a professional football player, because if you watch his film, he's just an athlete through and through. And obviously, when you can make it pro in two sports, that is a huge accomplishment.
Tell us about him as a player. What's he like? What do you like about watching him? And what should the Texans fans look forward to?
What you're getting with Akins is a vertical threat. He's going to be a guy who's going to, catch passes downfield from Watson, and he's going to, make some big plays. He came to UCF as a wide receiver. He spent his first 2 years with UCF as a wide receiver, and he was, an athlete coming out of high school. He even returned kicks for UCF for two seasons. He averaged 24.4 yards on 21 kick returns throughout his career at UCF. So he has receiver speed, and he has the hands of a receiver, which make him a vertical threat. When Scott Frost and company got to Orlando, they saw an opportunity for him to switch to tight end and to find success there, which he did. And obviously, Scott Frost's offense wasn't built around tight ends focusing on the block, not your traditional tight ends. So, he was able to make some big plays with, big catches downfield. And, the knock is he doesn't have the blocking skill set that you want from a tight end. But, if you look at the film, it's been, throughout his two seasons playing tight end, it's gotten progressively better.
Hands. I guess that's the first thing we're going to ask you about is his hands. What are they like? Is he a guy that just kind of catches everything that's close to him? Did he have any drops? That's, I guess, the first thing you think of, because if he's not a good blocker, then he better be able to catch the ball.
I wouldn't go as far to say he's not a good blocker. He's inexperienced as a blocker. You know, he's only played tight end for 2 seasons. So that part of his game is going to come along. And I think fans will be impressed with what they see. But I mean, if you look at, you know, you can search it up. It's on Twitter. You know, in the Reese's Senior Bowl, he made a one-handed catch in the end zone, you know, a SportsCenter top 10 type play. So he's, like I said, he's the receiver playing tight end. You know, when he was recruited back in 2010, I think he was 185 pounds. You know, now I think he weighed in at 280 or 280, 249. So he's put on the size. You know, he didn't get to participate in the combine due to injury, but at his pro day, he put 24 reps up on the bench. He's strong, he's quick, and you'll see that with watching his tape.
Okay, well, I want to get a little bit more into what Jordan can do for the Texans, but just want to remind everybody, if you're enjoying Locked On Texans, do us a favor. Tell your friends, let them know they can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, and Spotify. We're going to keep you company here in the next few weeks, keep you busy with Texans information as we head towards training camp. And hey, if you're a fan of the show, record a message for us, maybe using the voice memo on your phone. Email the voice memo to lockedontexans@mail.com. We'd love to hear from you, and we'll definitely use it on the show. All right, Luke, what else do you feel like Jordan can bring to the Texans? I mean, you said he's not real vocal guy. Was he considered a leader with Central Florida? What are the intangibles do you think that he can bring, maybe besides just the tangibles we know about his athleticism and his speed? I mean, Brian Gain, the Texans GM, talked about that plenty. What else can he do?
You know, I think he's going to have the advantage of being mature and the approach he's going to take to, you know, learning the system, you know, meshing with the team. You know, when you're 26 years old, you're not a kid like some of these guys coming into the draft. So, you know, I just think his mature professional demeanor is what is going to lead him to success, and it's what's going to help him gel with his teammates.
If you could talk about how Jordan, he was a wide receiver, but he was converted to tight end, of course. He had that ACL injury. Do you think that in terms of converting him to tight end, could you talk about how it has affected his career in terms of health, and what can we look at to him as being healthy through his career, you know, in the NFL?
I don't know if converting to tight end has had a positive or negative impact as far as health is concerned, but you know, those ACL injuries, it's just sometimes it's just a one of those freak things. For the most part, he's been healthy throughout, you know, with the exception of one season, which he got a medical red shirt. He's been healthy. He's been on the field. You know, he's a big, strong guy. I know he had a little bit of an injury going into the combine, but for the most part, he's been a reliable player game in and game out. You know, when the injury reports come out, or you hear about guys banged up, his name didn't come up all too often. So, you know, obviously you hear ACL injury and you kind of go, whoa, you know, this could be a little concerning, but I honestly don't think that's something that should be a red flag moving forward.
What about his route running?
The issue with UCF's offense last year was the way the schemes worked. It left so many receivers and you know, players downfield just wide open. So even when you were looking at a guy like Traquan Smith, who got drafted by the Saints, a knock was his route running. But the issue was, you look at the tape, so many times they're just, you know, they wind up downfield wide open. So I definitely think there's room for improvement, but you know, the raw talent and just strength and athleticism is there, where I think, you know, he's going to go in, he's going to work hard, and he's, you know, going to pick up those things he may not be as strong with as far as, you know, blocking or route running specifically.
What does he need to do to make him the ultimate successful NFL player? Look, talk about what he has done in his career thus far, and then what can he improve on to make it a successful career in the NFL?
Well, I think his claim to fame is definitely going to be offensive production. You know, I think that's what Texans fans can expect right off the bat. Obviously, there has to be the blocking aspect to be a successful tight end in the NFL, but I think the way he's going to be utilized, and, you know, I'm sure the coaching staff knows what they're getting. You know, I think he's going to be the kind of tight end you're going to want on, you know, your fantasy football team. I think he's going to put up a lot of offensive numbers. I think that's going to be his claim to fame. And I think he's going to do it well. I mean, you look back at the tape at UCF, he's a playmaker. You know, he had over 1,000, over 1,100 career receiving yards. And last year was obviously his best year. So he knows how to make plays. Like I said, he's returned kicks. He's just an athlete. You get him the ball and he's going to make a play, especially in space. And like I said, I think he's going to be the kind of tight end that you're going to want to draft on your fantasy team because he's going to put up offensive numbers.
What was your reaction when he was drafted in the third round that high?
I'm a UCF guy. I was obviously very happy for him, but I was just as surprised as you guys were. I was expecting him to maybe be a fifth round, you know, even into the sixth round. Not doubting his skills. He's not your traditional tight end. And I didn't expect him to go that high, although we did see some mock drafts that had him as high as the second round. The big knock, the two big knocks are blocking and his age. But if you look at guys like Antonio Gates, and I don't know, these guys are, you know, the rarity, but, you know, Jason Witten, Antonio Gates, Tony Gonzalez, you know, they played into their late 30s. So, you know, as long as he stays healthy, it's feasible Akins could have a 10-year career ahead of him. So I know he's not 22, 21, but, you know, he could be around for a while and he could be a playmaker for many years to come.
Let me ask you about the offense that UCF runs. What kind of offense was it? Do you feel like he's going to be comfortable playing with somebody like Deshaun Watson? I mean, the fortunate thing for a lot of college players now with the Texans is you come into a situation where it's not the typical pro set. They're not doing the typical stuff that you would see from a lot of NFL offenses. The good thing with Deshaun is, you know, they're running a lot of spread stuff. There's a lot of stuff that you would see from on the college level. What do you think is going to be his fit in that type of offense?
Well, that's why I think the Texans have become, they're the perfect fit for him. I'm not sure how much you followed UCF last year, but they're the highest scoring offense in the nation. Scott Frost ran a spread RPO, you know, mixed in offense. But, you know, a big part of it was getting, you know, his receivers open in space. And Mackenzie Milton, UCF's quarterback, had a big arm, you know, threw for over 4,000 yards, but he was also the type of quarterback who would make plays with his feet. So I think the offense is going to be a perfect fit for Akins. And I'm excited. I'm excited to see Deshaun and Akins hook up for, you know, hopefully some really big plays. And I'm telling you, I wouldn't expect anything less.
That sounds exciting. Hey, we got just a little bit more wrap it up, but want to remind everybody really quickly to like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, email us at LockedOnTexans@mail.com. If you forget any of that information, just go to the show description. It's all right there at each podcast. We're also looking for contributors to LockedOnTexans.com, the website. If you're interested, let us know. Also, when you're done listening to today's podcast, take a few seconds, rate us on iTunes. A big thanks to Texan Dave 05, who wrote, quote, "Great content put out consistently by engaging and knowledgeable host," unquote. I love that. That's great, Dave. Thank you so much for that. Appreciate the love. And you don't have to be that nice to us when you put something on iTunes, but we'll take it. Write a sentence or two. It really helps people find our show. Well, let's close things out, Luke. Just I mean, is there anything that people need to know about Jordan you think they don't know about his background or about the type of guy he is or about the type of player that the Texans are getting? Because I know Texans fans are a little bit hesitant with this pick we talked about a little bit earlier, but they're looking for a reason. I mean, Texans fans need a reason, and they're looking for a reason to love this guy. Is there anything that we've forgotten to ask you about?
You know, I think we covered a large part of it. Listen, nobody loves offense more than the fans. You want to see points put up on the board, just like, you know, everybody else. That's what you're going to get. That's going to be the key word, offense. You're going to see him produce. You're going to see him make big plays. And I know the third round may have been higher than where he, you know, probably should have gone. But I think he's going to surprise a lot of these doubters. I think he's going to put up big numbers. And when you have late draft picks in your fantasy draft, remember his name, because I think he's going to put up some big numbers that people are going to like.
Well, we're excited to see what he can do. I mean, we're just days away now from rookie minicamp. Anything else that you got, Brian? I guess we're hoping for as much luck here as we've had with A.J. Boye, another UCF grad, and he was an undrafted guy, came out of nowhere. Akins, he's going to have a little bit more pressure, Brian, but we've had success with UCF guys before, and hopefully this is not going to be a situation where the Texans fail again in the third round, because they've had their struggles there for sure.
He's speedy and he's explosive, all of what we need to keep this offense moving, because we're going to be putting points up on the board, baby. And with Jordan in this offense, I really do think that as far as him being a starter, he has a very good shot. I mean, it's open. It's open for grabs. I mean, I don't see – he is the front runner right now for that starting position, that tight end. I just don't see Ryan Griffin. Just because he's been here, he doesn't need to get that benefit. So, you know, I really do see him as a starter out of the gate. Luke, I don't know if you agree with me, but I think he has that potential.
And the good news is Ryan Griffin, he's not a good blocker either. So I don't think that's going to be the issue with the starting tight end position.
I think this is all about the evolution of that offense. And I think he's going to fit in perfectly to what the coaching staff over there is trying to do. So I'm excited to see how he produces.
For people that are interested in following what's going on with UCF, maybe there could be some more guys coming from there over to the Texans. How can they follow you and what's going on with the Golden Knights?
Absolutely. I can be reached, or you can follow me on Twitter at Inside Dungeon. I got to pick a bone with you. We haven't been the Golden Knights since 2007.
I'm sorry. I'm old, so it feels like it was probably just I'm thinking about this because it was probably just yesterday for me.
I'm telling you, when this gets posted, I'm going to share it on my Twitter, and if people hear Golden Knights, they're going to jump all over it. UCF Twitter is very sensitive about that for some reason. So I had to make sure I made my correction. But yeah, at Inside Dungeon, you know, I write for Underdog Dynasty on SB Nation. So if you want to learn more about the only undefeated team in the nation from last season, that's where you can find it. Some good information.
What happened to the Golden Knights? Nothing wrong with that nickname, and you're just the Knights now, right? There's no Golden, so.
Just the Knights. It was all about rebranding, but when people refer to us as Central Florida, or they call us the Golden Knights, that riles some people up. So just the Knights now.
All right, well, that sounds good. Hey, thanks a lot for doing this. We really appreciate it. Just going to wrap things up really quickly. We can be followed, of course, Brian on House of Houston, a fanside affiliate. Go check out his and his staff stories on houseofhouston.com, a Houston sports talk podcast, easy to find on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, our free app in the Google Play Store for all you Android users. So lots of Rockets and Astros coverage on both House of Houston and Houston Sports Talk as well. That's all we've got for this one. Hopefully we've found a winner in Jordan Akins, some excitement at the tight end position. Looking forward to it. As always, thanks everybody for making us a part of your week.
You are Locked On Texans, your daily Houston Texans podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.